once again from the IAL podcast studio in the Baltimore, Maryland, worldwide headquarters of Inside Lacrosse. It's the D-Fly and Dixie Show, featuring Inside Lacrosse and Big Ten Network analyst and my Homewood homeboy, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Dix, let's get it. Welcome to another episode of the D-Fly and Dixie Show. What's up, Dix?
How you doing? Another week in the books.
Yeah, another exciting weekend of college lacrosse action.
Very much so.
We have a new number one.
Wow. How about that?
Let's start with that game. So Yale got a 14.
Are you just going right in? You don't want any friendly banter or any, like, how was your weekend?
We'll banter it up as we talk.
How was this? How was that? You don't want to ask me how my hearing's doing after the horn at Rutgers last night. It was...
It got stuck.
It got stuck for 3-4 minutes.
Did you see that tweet someone sent us? One of our listeners tweeted at us that, you know, the Hopkins cannon never got stuck for 3 minutes.
That's touche.
Yeah, that was
touche.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Well, so you want to start out with Albany Yale? You just want to get right into it.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess around. You don't want to play around. You just want to get right into it. Yes, so sir. Yeah, So at this point, I was only able to watch the first quarter and a half of the game. I was watching it on the ESPN app on my phone, and then I had to get going to my my game, which was last night, the Rutgers Penn State. Domination by Yale. I thought they came out strong. They got out to a 3-0 lead. Physically, I thought they were imposing their will on Albany. And then Connor Fields goes down. The knee buckles, and that's a very painful injury, a sprained MCL. Obviously, it's not as severe as a tear or anything of that nature, but still a sprained MCL. I mean, you can see he's about a month out from doing that, and he still had on some support and some protection for that knee. My biggest takeaway from this is you lose Connor Fields, you lose a lot for the Albany Great Danes. Leadership. You saw him continuing to lead. I saw tweets and I saw some highlight video of him continuing to lead and encourage his teammates. A little bit of a red flag went up for me when I covered the Albany-Maryland game of how in the 6-on-6 setting they are reliant on Connor Fields. You know, the one-on-one, you know, he's doing the work and then five guys are kind of standing around watching him. So now more than ever, Albany needs to generate transition. They need to score in unsettled situations, in broken plays, uneven scenarios, those kinds of things. Because 6-on-6, I think this team just went from being really good to just good, and that's tough.
Nanacoke, as you like to call it, a double donut.
Double donut.
On yeah. 9 shots.
He's not ready for prime time. He's not ready to be the guy. And I saw that against Maryland. You know, Bryce Young won that matchup. And not only did he win that matchup, but they made sure that DeHoga was on his back after he got rid of the ball and tried to bull his way in. And but look, Albany still has a lot of pieces. Kyle McClancy and Justin Ray is still very, very talented. And Eccles, Darren Eccles is a special, special player.
And T.D. Earlin.
T.D. Earlin, obviously.
He's going to win some games. But he had a tough game yesterday.
Connor Mackey held his own. I mean, it was what? I think it was just...
He was 13 of 21, Mackey yeah. was. So
yeah, so, you know, you're talking 60-65%.
Yeah.
You know,
Earlin was under 500, you know, he's 8 for 21 for probably the first time in his college career.
Right.
Under 500.
And I didn't think Mackey was going to athletically enough be able to win that many faceoffs against T.D. Earlin. So credit to him. And look, Yale just smoked Albany. They're the new number one team. Hopefully, that wasn't too much of a buzzkill, you know, or you were teasing who the new number one. And we're talking about Albany, because all year long we've been saying the top two teams in the country are Albany and Maryland. They both lose on the same day, but this Yale team is so much more than Ben Reeves. They're so much more than Ben Reeves. I mean, Chris Fakel on the defensive end was fantastic. Connor Mackey was great at the faceoff dot. Tyler Warner was a demon on the wings and on ground balls. So this is a daggone, man. I mean, this is a Yale team that is just really good. Really, really good.
All right, so the other big upset yesterday was Ohio State. It's a 12-10 win over the Terps. Jack Jasinski had himself a day. 2 goals, 5 assists. Colin Chell on the receiving end of a lot of those assists. He had 4 goals. The Terps were still led by Connor Kelly. 4 goals, 1 assist. This is a big win for Ohio State. I didn't think they had this in them.
Look, if you were to rewind 3 weeks ago, you would have said the Big Ten, it's a 4-team race, and that's it. Maryland, Hopkins, Penn State, Rutgers, and that's it. Ohio State was struggling big time. They hadn't won a game since, I think, the first week in March, and they just didn't seem to have it, whatever it is. Face-offs, goaltending, timely scoring, offensive execution, the defense wasn't performing at the level it was in 2017. I did their game against Michigan, where they beat the Wolverines in the Shoe, 8-5, but I still wasn't sold on Ohio State. So I was in College Park on Saturday. I talked with John Tillman, and he was like, we know we're going to get their best, and we know that they just play hard. And if you think about it, no other team has had more success against Maryland than Ohio State since the formation of the Big Ten. They've beaten the Terps twice, the semifinals in 2015 in the Big Ten tournament, and then they beat them last year during the regular season. I don't think any other team has beaten Maryland twice since the formation of the Big Ten. You know, Rutgers has never beaten them. Penn State's never beaten them. Michigan's never beaten them. And Hopkins beat them in the Big Ten in the regular season finale back in 2015, but they haven't beaten them since, right? So Ohio State's the only team that's had multiple wins over Maryland. And lo and behold, they come in and just play a fantastic game. I think the key in this one was the face-off work of Inacio, Justin Inacio. So all year, Ohio State just hasn't been able to win the faceoffs with the consistency that Jake Withers won them last year. And we're talking 70%. That's pretty darn special. And Ohio State is an offense that needs those extra touches, needs those extra possessions to get stamped there, enforce their will on that particular game. And Inacio was 17 out of 26. He gave them a lot of touches. And you mentioned Jasinski. Maryland prepared for him. They knew what he was going to do. But the preparation and the execution are two entirely different things, and I thought Jasinski was just – he was fantastic. And then Colin Chell broke out 4 goals. You know, this is a game where Trey LeClair was held to a goal. And you're thinking, okay, you shut down LeClair, you kind of exhaust the options for the Buckeyes. And just a huge win. But I think the key was the facing off of Inacio to give them the touches. And Maryland used all 3 face-off guys. They used all 3 of their guys, Henningsen, Shockey, and Bonaparte, and none of them had success against Inacio.
Let's talk about the game you did. Rutgers got an 11-8 win over Penn State. Penn State had been playing some very good lacrosse coming into the game. Rutgers just had some near misses, and they finally seemed to put it together last night.
First of all, great atmosphere up at High Point Solutions Stadium. It was a beautiful night. Had a chance to meet and catch up with, not meet, but catch up with Tom Hayes, Rutgers coaching legend, before the game, because he was on hand to present the Friendship Cup. So, you know, just a great atmosphere. And this is one Rutgers desperately needed, especially with the Ohio State win, especially with Navy knocking off Syracuse. Those are the kind of teams that are going to be, you know, if they don't win the Big Ten championship, are going to be circling around for those at-large berths. First of all, Colby Kinese made a ridiculous save on Rutgers' first offensive possession, where he kicked his kick, saved off his right foot. Christian Mazzone was there for a rebound, shoots it. Kinese is on his butt and basically sticks his stick up and snares it out of midair and keeps it out of the goal. It was very reminiscent a little bit of the Kyle Bernlohr save in the snowstorm against Michigan back in 2016. And I love the way Rutgers responded, though. They came back. They fought back. They didn't get phased. Christian Mazzone was great all game long. So Gerard Arcari went out for Penn State in the third quarter. I think the hamstring just finally got to him. And a freshman, Jake Glatz, came in and really provided a spark for Penn State. They cut the lead to 9-8. And right then you're thinking, this can't happen to Rutgers. Like this, they can't let this happen. I think we talked in this space last week that they need to start winning games like this. They need to start making that one more play. And that's what Brian Breck did. Said to Joe B. and I as we were in our conference call last week with him. And that's what they did. Max Edelman was a guy who made some saves down the stretch. Christian Mazzone got free and scored a couple of goals. Henningberg was terrific. This is a total team effort. It was a complete team effort. I love the ride from Rutgers all night long. And they kept Penn State uncomfortable and unsettled. The Nittany Lions never got into a rhythm offensively. When they did in the fourth period and started making that comeback, Max Edelman upped his game and made four critical saves in the fourth quarter. So hats off to Rutgers.
It sets up a very interesting weekend in the Big Ten with some critical games.
Great weekend.
Yeah, some wow. Critical games coming up.
Five teams out of the six are still in the hunt for those four berths, which is, you'd love to say all six are in the hunt, but unfortunately Michigan is the only one mathematically eliminated at 0-4.
And where is the tournament going to be?
It's in Ann Arbor, at Michigan.
It's not fun to host a tournament that you're not playing in.
No, but, I mean, Michigan gave Hopkins all they could handle this past Saturday, and, man, that was a dogfight. And Kyle Maher with the game winner with just over 30 seconds left, but Michigan played their hearts out.
Hey, you mentioned the game, another big upset this weekend, or apparently an upset. Navy 13, Syracuse 12. It looked like the Orange had this one wrapped up late in the game. They scored a goal to go ahead 12-11. Navy scores two goals in the last 9 seconds. Mm. Joe Varello.
How about that?
Was going up against his brother. His little brother is the faceoff man, Dan Varello, for Syracuse. And he wins the faceoff and scores the game winner to give Navy a huge win. He was 16-27 facing off on the day. Grayson Terrain had three goals. Jack Ray, four goals and two assists. A big game for Navy. This is a big win for them. The Patriot League is looking really strong right now.
I mean, we've been talking for a couple weeks now that the Patriot League could potentially be a two-bid conference.
It's definitely going to be.
With Loyola and Bucknell. You know, Loyola is the number one seed entering the Patriot League tournament that begins tomorrow, Tuesday. We're recording this on a Monday, so we're trying not to play mind games here with you on days of the week. But, should Loyola falter, they've got that big win over Hopkins. Bucknell is a team that beat Loyola and then beat Yale. So they've got two great, top 10, top 5 wins in their back pocket.
And now the Naval Academy.
And Bucknell's a number 3 seed because Navy beat Bucknell in the regular season back on March 3rd, 13-8, in Lewisburg at Bucknell. So I'm telling you, and now Navy has the big out-of-conference win against Syracuse. That really is going to help out their numbers. So this is a Navy team that you kind of forgot about early in the season, especially when they laid an egg in the season opener at Jacksonville. And then they get worked by Maryland. Then they get destroyed by Penn. And then they get ripped by Loyola. And that Loyola loss came on March 17th, so 2 weeks after they are able to beat Bucknell. And then they beat Lehigh, they beat Holy Cross, they beat Colgate, they beat Army. Now they beat Syracuse. And now they kind of have everybody's attention. Good balance, good goaltending, great faceoff work. Like, those were the characteristics that they did, had against Syracuse, and it came to the forefront. You mentioned the goal scorers. You mentioned Joe Varello. And this is a guy that was suspended at the beginning of the season. And his season was very much in jeopardy, that if he was ever going to play. And he has played. He's been terrific all year long. He was just named to the All-Patriot League team. So huge win, huge, huge win for Navy. And now the conversation is this potentially a three-bid conference?
Yeah.
They might
take one of the ACC's bids. I mean, you look at the ACC.
They could take a Big Ten bid.
Yeah.
Honestly, it is interesting. It's really interesting. And what happens if you have the Big East shenanigans that you've had the last 2 years where Marquette beats Denver, or somebody beats Denver in the Big East. I mean, I think Villanova still has very much a realistic chance of making the NCAA tournament as an at-large. They've struggled as of late, though, a little bit. But, it's just so many scenarios, so many different things are going on.
Yeah, that's what's exciting about this time of year. Some of this stuff will start to work itself out.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Patriot League tournament. It was set up. Loyola had a 12-8 win over Army on Friday, and Bucknell beat Lehigh So as Mark said, Loyola will host the tournament. The first round games are Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So last night, if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning.
Right.
And that will set up, Loyola will be the number one seed.
Yep.
And then Navy's,
they'll get the winner of 4-5.
Not necessarily. They do a cool thing.
Do they reseed?
Yeah. So it's cool how they do it. Loyola is guaranteed to play the lowest seeded team.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Bucknell is the 3 seed and will play Boston University,
right?
Normally that would play the 2 seed.
Right.
But if Boston University upsets Bucknell, they'll move over and play Loyola because they are the 6 seed, the lowest seeded team. If Bucknell wins, then Loyola just plays the winner of the 4-5 game, which is Lehigh and Colgate.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Isn't it crazy that Army didn't qualify for the conference tournament?
Yeah.
And their season is over. You know, much like North Carolina's season ended on April 21st.
Isn't that crazy?
Army season ended on April 20th. And that was a team that was top 15 preseason and even bumped up a little bit, you know, throughout the years, or the beginning of the season, I should say. Nice win over Rutgers. Oh, man, it's kind of crazy that Army didn't even make the conference tournament.
Yeah, let's mention that UNC season. They get a win over Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But because of the tiebreaker rules, they're out of the ACC tournament conversation. They're only 2 years removed from winning the national championship game on Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
And now their season ends on April 21st.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, so what happens when you go, you know, start the season out 6-0 and then you lose, what, 7 in a row? You know, you go from 6-0 to 6-7. And look, defensively all year, Carolina had problems. I mean, ultimately, they were using a fourth-string goaltender as their starting goalie, who was the reason that they beat Notre Dame with a late save against Brian Costabile to preserve that victory. But that's tough when they got guys like, you know, Chris Cloutier had a pretty darn good college career.
Sure.
It was very, very entertaining. That's a team that lost a lot of seniors between the 2016 national title team and then the 2017 team that went to the NCAA first round and lost to Albany. You know, those two classes were kind of the leaders of that program, and they're gone. And, you know, it's a rebuilding year, ultimately, for North Carolina.
Trimino is protein-infused water. It has 7 grams of whey protein and essential B vitamins to fuel your game. No sugars, no carbs, and only 28 calories. Trimino is ideal before, during, or after your workout, and it tastes great. Comes in 7 delicious flavors, including 3 new ones, citrus, orchard, and raspberry limeade. You can grab Trimino at CVS or your local retailer, your grocery store, or you can buy it on Amazon.com. Trimino increases energy and endurance and even curbs your appetite. Play hard, not hungry. Protein has never tasted so good.
I think we had a fan tweet at us last week. Brian Powell, I think is the guy's name,
BG
saying
Powell.
That We inspired him to go out and purchase and try Trimino. So good
and
for
he
you.
He said he got it at his local Safeway.
Safeway.
So thanks for supporting.
Heck yeah.
Our sponsors, Brian.
Yeah.
And all you other guys out there who listen and help us out by supporting Trimino.
That's yeah. Awesome.
And I actually wanted to give the guy who made the comment about the cannon, the whistle at Rutgers, how it got stopped.
The whole yeah stopped. Yeah.
It was Jaws 3153 on Twitter. Who can give a shout out? Wes. It's dun, Wes dun. Myers. It's good.
Good for you, Jaws.
So we have
that was interesting, man, when that cannon went off. I mean, when the cannon went off, when that horn wouldn't
got
stop.
Stuck?
Yeah, because you know, typically the horn goes off and I think it blares at least 2, sometimes 3. So it's and then it's done. Normally when I start my analysis of the replay, the horn is wrapping up, but the horn kept going. I'm like, what's finally? It's like, what's happening here? So that was, I think I said on the broadcast, it's like your neighbor with the security alarm when they're away on vacation and the damn thing goes off and you can't get it to stop and it just drives you nuts. That's what that thing kind of became last night. So
they may have to get rid of that thing.
No, you can't get rid of it. Can't get rid of it. It's too good. Just got to make, well, they're done. They're done at home. They play on the road at Columbus next weekend in a critical Big Ten game. And then if they qualify, they'll be in Michigan for the Big Ten tournament, and then it's off to the NCAAs. Unless they, I take that back. They could get
a home game.
They could host a first round home game. What am I thinking? That's a little short sighted on my part.
All right, let's talk about the new Maverick Media poll, where Yale is our new number one team. But we have a call from a listener named Frank from Northern Virginia, who is calling in about the Maverick Media poll.
Hey, Mark and Dan, this is Frank Keel from Northern Virginia, calling in to get your take on who should be the new number one team in Division I lacrosse this week. With Maryland losing to Ohio State and Albany's loss to Yale, I'm thinking Yale has a strong case for the new number one spot with an 11-2 record, both losses in overtime, some strong wins against teams like Cornell, Albany, an undefeated record in the Ivy League. I think Duke has to be in the conversation as well. They have a 12-2 record, 2 1-goal losses also. A very strong resume of wins against teams like Denver, Loyola, UVA, to name a few. I also want to get you guys' take on Bobby Mutt possibly making the tournament for the first time ever. If they do win the NEC and get in, do you guys think they have a team that, can make some noise and upset some of the top 10 teams? Coach McMinn really has those guys playing the best lacrosse Pittsburgh has ever seen. Just want to see what you guys think on that, too. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for the call, Frank. He has some thoughts on who should be number one in this week's poll, but he also asked about Robert Morris. Let's start with them, Dix.
Yes.
Can they win a play? Can they win an NCAA tournament game if they win the AQ?
I think that as we're talking, Josh Davey, one of our work associates, has some booty for us. Take a look.
Oh, he's carrying a case of Trimino.
Josh Davey, welcome into the Inside Lacrosse, the D-Fly Dixie podcast studio. What do you have for us?
This was sent, hand-delivered from Connecticut. We have a fresh case of Trimino.
Wow.
Ready for Mark Dixon specifically.
No, not just me.
You know he's
me.
Been complaining. They've heard it everywhere. Everyone
Dixie
knows.
Complaining?
Wait a minute.
So as soon as it came in, I had to break it out and bring it to you hand-delivered. Here's your own personal case just for you, Mark Dixon.
Trimino, first of all, there's a difference between complaining and requesting. And I was just requesting the refreshment of Trimino.
That's good podcast.
This is great.
This is good stuff, isn't it? Jeez.
This is like hot off the presses. What are you doing with it?
I'm putting it down off the table. It's
Why can't we drink
the
it?
Coconut pineapple. You can crack one open.
I think I might try one. Come on, bring it over here. It won't be the same as it's much healthier than eating lasagna on the air. Look at this. Trimino, 7 grams of protein, 0 sugar and carbs, 28 calories a bottle, 100% in vitamins B3, B5, B6, and B12. And in my hands, I have the coconut pineapple.
Crack it open.
Oh, that is good stuff. That is fantastic. That is fantastic. That just made my day.
Do you feel rejuvenated?
Mm. I can feel it coursing through my veins.
Don't just hydrate. Rejuvenate.
This is the
with
best.
Trimino.
This is the best.
Yeah, I'm just going to take
Thank
this
you,
off
Trimino.
The table.
Don't hide it from me now, too. I know how you operate.
No, I know you're going to take that out of here. You will walk out of here with that. Okay, back to Robert Morris.
Yeah.
It's likely the NEC only gets one team.
One bid,
It's a one-bid league.
Sure.
Automatic qualifier. Talked about how there's three teams competing for the bid. Robert Morris is the game. Can they win an NCAA tournament game? Should they advance?
I think that maybe they go to the play-in game, and is that considered to be an NCAA tournament game? I think there's been argument over that over the last couple of years. Is that considered to be? And for my money, it is.
Yes, it is.
It is.
It's postseason lacrosse.
Yeah, so I think they could win that game. Absolutely. Then
likely to face like a 1 or 2 seed after that or 3 seed?
Yeah, I think that they're... No, I mean, I think the MAC might get the number one overall seed. It's typically between the Northeast Conference and the MAC Conference. What if Albany doesn't win the America East? You could look at an America East team could be in that play-in game and potentially going up against number one, number two. I think it's a tough road to hoe for Robert Morris. I mean, first and foremost, they've got to handle their business in conference. They've got to beat St. Joe's on
Saturday.
Bryant has beaten Bobby Moe. St. Joe's beat Bryant. Now, if Bobby Moe beats St. Joe's, you go into a tiebreaker situation. St. Joe's I think I think they're the best team right now in the Northeast Conference. They've been playing really, really well lately. And Matt Kinnear, I remember Matt Kinnear went and saw them play 2 weeks ago and came back with just glowing reviews. Doesn't mean anything. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it just means that they're playing really, really well now. But I like, you know, Robert Morris has some nice balanced scoring. They got a good goaltender, Alex Hager. You know, he's saving 61% on the season. So he's the guy. Actually, I think I voted him midseason second team All American. So he's a really, really good player. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think they've got the potential to do it, to win the playing game. But after that, it's tough. I mean, it's really, really hard. But look, it can, you know, it was done in college basketball. UMBC did it, and then UMBC turned around the improbable victory over Albany, even though they were without Connor Fields. God forbid if UMBC, you know, gets into the America East tournament, wins that tournament, you know, pray for their competition because that's an upset-minded program. But anything's possible. I think it's a tall order. But look, they've knocked off. What, they beat Marquette by 10 goals. They beat Penn State earlier in the season. They played Georgetown to a 1-2 goal game. Rutgers to a 1-2 goal game. So this is a very, very talented lacrosse team.
All right, let's talk about the new Maverick poll.
Go ahead.
Number 10, Bucknell. They just keep on winning.
Bison. Actually, I apologize. They lost to Rutgers 11-7, but still. I mean, you know, that's close. Good.
Bucknell, Frank Federaca.
Yeah.
Patriot League Coach of the Year.
Well-deserved.
Yeah.
Well-deserved. That's a Bucknell team that I'd have to go back and look at the Inside Lacrosse yearbook, but I think everybody...
I don't think they were in the top 10.
I think it was... Well, I'm talking about even in the Patriot League.
Oh, in the Patriot League.
I think... Loyola was number one. Army was number two. Maybe they were three, four, somewhere around there. But nice job by Coach Federaca.
Yeah, great.
I'm high on the Bison right now, by the way, and I'll share with you my top 10 once we get into it.
Rutgers number nine.
Mm-hmm.
They have a huge game this week.
Yeah.
Basically,
winner goes to the Big Ten tournament.
Loyola checks in at number eight. They will host the Patriot League tournament, as we talked about. Pat Spencer, Foster Huggins, Jacob Stover, all the player of the year at their position.
So well-deserved.
Third year in a row for Pat Spencer to be the offensive player of the year in the Patriot League.
I think the only competition for that distinction was Will Sands from Bucknell, and you're not going to get really any argument that it's Pat Spencer.
Hopkins, number seven. They grind out their ninth win at Michigan without the services of Shackelford Stanwyck.
Yeah.
He did not make the trip.
Right.
He's some sort of rib injury or something. Then he could play this week or might be done for the season. They're not sure.
Yeah. I don't have any information on that. He's had a history of injuries. And what we talked about, you know, some have been public and others have not been made for public consumption. So just have to see how he progresses this week. What a huge game.
We'll talk about that.
I mean, oh my God.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
Cornell is at number six. They had a 19-5 drubbing of Brown. Jeff Teat, two goals, eight assists. Hit 9 points in the first half.
Wow. I think the only thing better than this...
He's drinking
the trimino. I think the only thing better than this trimino might be Jeff Teat's performance from this past weekend. He was incredible.
Well played, sir.
He was incredible. Great picture of him and Mike French after that game as well. Cornell, big red legend, having Teat next to another Canadian. Mike French is... I mean, when you think about Cornell's history in lacrosse, you know, Max Sebald, Rob Pinnell, Eamon McEnany, Mike French is right up there with the greats in Cornell lacrosse, and to have him next to Teat was a pretty cool picture to see.
Our new number five team is the Albany Great Danes. Number four is Denver. They play Marquette this Saturday. Marquette's had their number.
Well, in the postseason, regular season, Denver's typically handled the Golden Eagles, but you know that postseason 2 years in a row.
So Marquette is 3-1 in the Big East. Yeah. Denver's 4-0. So this is basically for the top seed in the Big East.
And I think the Big East tournament's in Villanova this year. I think it's in Philadelphia.
It's a good place for it.
Yeah.
Maryland's number three. After their loss, they slide down. Duke's number two, and the Yale Bulldogs, the Eli, number one.
Right.
I was asking if this is the first time they've been ranked number one in men's lacrosse, and they actually were in the 2016 season for a week or two.
Okay.
They were the number one team, so this is not a first for that program.
Right.
But nevertheless, they are playing as well as anybody in the country right now.
They really are, and they are my number one Gave it a little bit of thought. I got Denver too. I still have Denver number two, even though they lost to Duke. I just think who's, you know, you try to think of who's playing the best lacrosse right now. Who, you know, the eye test, you know, and when you watch them play. And Denver's just been rolling teams over the last couple of weeks. Now, granted, it's the Big East, a league that they've dominated in the regular season since they entered that conference. But Villanova's pretty darn good. They whipped Villanova. Squeaked one out against Georgetown. But they're just humming right now. You know, they're just playing really, really good lacrosse. Duke, impressive win. I mean, they dominated Marquette this past weekend. So I got them number three. Could interchange them, and I wouldn't really give you an argument. You could put one of them number one as well. But Yale, just how they're playing and the way that they did it. But don't forget, Yale just lost to Bucknell, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
3 weeks ago.
You know?
They've won four games since
then. So, okay. So I've got Yale, Denver, Duke. They're my top three. I slipped Maryland down to number four.
Wow.
You lose to an unranked team at home. You know, there's got to be some type of penalty.
Sure.
And Maryland's been living dangerously the last couple of weeks. But there's two ways to look at it. They're living dangerously, and they're lucky that they win. I take the converse. You know, they're being played tightly. They're getting everyone's best effort, and they're finding a way to win. You know, one-goal victory over Penn State, one-goal victory over Rutgers, you know, in the gauntlet that is the Big Ten. But I did slide Maryland down to number four. I got Cornell at five. I got Bucknell sitting at number six. And they beat Yale.
Yeah.
And this is a Bucknell team that's just playing at a very, very high level right now. And they beat Loyola. So this is a team that's got two top 10 wins. And now a top five win with Yale, their ascension, the last couple weeks in the rankings. Albany is number seven. They're just a totally different team without Connor Fields. And it's a shame because I think that team was a bona fide contender to get to Foxborough for the national semifinals. Now you're thinking, can they even win the America East tournament? And I'm not trying to be, you know, a jerk about it, but that's how much Connor Field means to this team offensively. I still think defensively and at the faceoff dot, they're very, very good. But this just changes the way Albany will play in 6-on-6, which is why they got to push transition. And they will. I got Loyola 8, Hopkins 9, Rutgers at 10. That's my top 10.
All right. So basically the same teams, just in a slightly different order.
Slightly different order. Rutgers didn't go anywhere this week, even though with the win over Penn State, I didn't have anywhere to really to move them because they lost to Johns Hopkins. Are they playing better than Loyola right now? Maybe, but does Loyola deserve to drop? No. I mean, Loyola's been pretty darn good over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, is what it is.
All right, that's the Maverick Media Poll for this week. Sideline Swap. Sideline Swap is where lacrosse players buy and sell their gear. Shop heads, helmets, shafts, and gloves up to 70% off, or snag hard-to-find college gear. And all purchases are backed by Sideline Swap's buyer guarantee. Head to SidelineSwap.com. That's SideLineSwap.com. SidelineSwap.com. Or download the iPhone app today. All right, Dix. This is a huge weekend of interesting games coming up. You know, we said Patriot League tournament starts on Tuesday night. The ACC tournament will start on Friday.
Friday, yeah.
Notre Dame versus Duke, Syracuse versus Virginia. What are you looking for out of the ACC tournament?
Syracuse is the number one seed. Do I think they're the best team? No, I don't. Duke is. I expect Duke to win the ACC tournament. Now, look, Notre Dame is just, they're limping in to this tournament. You know, both from an injury perspective as well as just an execution perspective. So I expect Duke to beat Notre Dame this time. Maybe they beat them a couple weeks ago, what, 8-2? I expect something similar.
Yeah. You know what was shocking to me? Look at Notre Dame's stats.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey Wynn.
Yeah.
What do you think his points totals is?
Point total is for the season or in what?
For the season right now.
I bet he has maybe 20 points.
Yeah. I just would expect a lot more out of him and Ryder Garnsey this season. And it's just a statement about the struggles of their offense. He has 14 goals and 3 assists. And he's a, you know, preseason All-American type of player. He's a senior now. And I'm not picking on him. It's just shows you where their offense is. Ryder Garnsey only has 25 points on the season.
Well, look, Mikey Wynn is a terrific lacrosse player.
Absolutely.
He's a finisher, though. He needs somebody to get him the ball. He's really, his game's not equipped to be a Dodger, to beat guys one-on-one. He's a great finisher. He's very smart inside. And so am I surprised that the numbers are that low? Yes, but not really when you consider that Notre Dame just doesn't have a whole lot of creators. Pierre Byrne can create, can beat a guy. Costabile can. Garnsey can. But Garnsey's season has been really uneven, really uneven. There's been games where he's not started, not played a whole lot. The Maryland game, he didn't start, came in and was dominant, and his play's been erratic. So it just kind of exemplifies Notre Dame's season.
Yeah, the top assist man on the Fighting Irish is nine assists on the season.
Yeah.
And that's Garnsey and Brendan Gleeson are tied with that.
They've missed Gleeson the last couple weeks. He's been out.
That's in 11 games.
It's hard.
It's shocking.
Yeah. So I expect, you ask me what I expect, Duke to win. I'll take Virginia.
I think I will too.
I will take Virginia. Second time around, Syracuse beat them in Klockner. Syracuse, man, I tell you, they're fun to, I enjoy watching them play. I like watching Trimboli. I like watching Dirtovic. I like watching Nate Solomon. I enjoy watching Brendan Curry. You know, it's just, it's a young group. somebody texted me over the weekend and was like, I can't figure Syracuse out. It's like, actually two or three people. I'm like, they're young. It's a young team. Yeah, they're tough to figure out. They are. But I'll take Virginia in that game.
The title game, Duke versus Virginia.
Duke. Yeah, Duke is the best team in the ACC.
I agree with you.
They might be the best team in the country right now. You know, they're my preseason number one. And, you know, a lot of people, you would have put Duke number one. I don't argue with that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, as we mentioned, there's a big game in the NEC. Robert Morris plays St. Joe's Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then in the Big Ten, the Conference of Legends and Leaders. Rutgers at Ohio State Saturday at 4 o'clock. As we mentioned, that's a big game.
Yeah.
The winner is in the Big Ten tournament. The loser could be done, depending on how Penn State and Michigan is the other game.
Yeah.
Penn State, Ohio State, and Rutgers are all 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And getting that third victory is very important. So this is a make-or-break game, basically, for these teams. You don't want to be on the losing end of this one.
Yeah, so look, it's a great weekend of lacrosse on the Big Ten Network. It actually starts Thursday night. Sheehan Stabak-Birch and I will call Maryland versus Northwestern. Both are 5-0, and winner will be the number one seed in the Big Ten Women's Tournament. Then we fast forward to 11 a.m. Saturday morning, Michigan at Penn State. So Penn State now is in a must-win situation to avoid tiebreakers. So if they can beat Michigan, which is not going to be easy. Tommy Height, the goaltender for the Wolverines, is playing incredibly well. Brent Noseworthy, terrific scorer. And they play Penn State tough every Big Ten game that they played in the past. But Penn State wins that game. They go to 3-2. And then so we have that game at 11 a.m. Then at 2 p.m., we've got Michigan-Penn State women. Sheehan and I will call that game. And then I'll be with Joe B. In the men's game at 11 a.m. And then 4 p.m., Rutgers at Ohio State. That'll be Mike Monaco and Greg Bice will have the call from the shoe. But there's always something on the line when Ohio State and Rutgers get together, it seems. And the home team has dominated this series. So look, the winner goes. You know, they'll be 3-2, losers 2-3. And if Penn State wins earlier that day, they'll know. They'll know what they have to do. And that becomes
true.
That becomes, you know, because Penn State's either going to be 2-3, and you got all the tiebreakers, which I haven't even looked at yet. But if Penn State wins, they're 3-2. Boom, that magic number's 3. Now it becomes winner goes, loser season is over. So that 4 o'clock game on Saturday is going to be gigantic.
But the biggest game of the weekend,
it is
number 3 Maryland at number 7 Johns Hopkins Saturday at 2 p.m.
Man, I tell you, I've had the pleasure of calling a lot of Maryland Hopkins over the years. And the homecoming game, especially at Johns Hopkins, is just awesome. It is terrific. So I'm really jealous. I know my friend Mike Corey is calling that game on ESPNU, 2 o'clock Saturday. You got to love it you know, where I'm on Ernie Loras's distribution list as part of the media. And when you're getting an email 2 weeks before that game saying, buy your tickets now because it's going to be sold out. Like, that's, it's a great environment, great atmosphere, two teams where this is winner's number one seed. You want to talk about winner take all. Whoever wins this game will go to 4-1 in the conference. Both these teams, Hopkins and Maryland, 3-1 coming into this game. Winner goes 4-1, number one seed in the Big Ten tournament.
And you also get the crab, the big rivalry.
The rivalry trophy.
Rivalry trophy.
Yep, that's become quite a symbol. And the teams that have won that game have been able to celebrate with that thing. You know, takes three of them to pick it up.
It's gigantic, gorgeous wooden crab.
Yeah, and it's great, and it's become a tremendous symbol of pride in this rivalry, no doubt.
So give me some of your best memories of playing in this rivalry from your days. You've seen, God, you've probably seen 30 of these games between playing them, calling them, and just going when you were a kid.
Growing up watching. Yeah. So I remember my freshman year we played down at Maryland on what is now Ludwig Field, which is a soccer field. And because Bird, at the time, it was named Bird Stadium, was under renovation. And look, I played at Hopkins during a time where Syracuse, North Carolina, and then ultimately Princeton during my 4 years there were the three best teams. And I also played for Tony Seaman, who was not a Hopkins alum. And no fault of Coach Seaman, but I don't think we really understood the tradition of Maryland Hopkins as well as we could have. Because Maryland was good, but they weren't dominant during that time, even though in 91 they went to the NCAA semifinals, lost to Towson State at the time. So we played that game in basically what looked like, I mean, Ludwig wasn't the way it is now. So it was basically, I felt like I was back in like rec lacrosse, like just playing on a field. And I remember Mark Douglas was an attackman for them, and he had a great day. I think we lost that game by like 3 or 4. Then my sophomore year, we played Maryland, and it was supposed to be homecoming, but it was a stretch of really cold weather. So they actually bumped homecoming back a couple weeks. So that game became Towson in 92. I remember we had like 26 turnovers against Maryland at Homewood Field. It was a cold, rainy, dreary day. We lost again by like 3 or 4. Junior year, we go down, we play Maryland on a Friday night under the lights. And I actually played in that game. I didn't play in the first two games. I actually got a little bit of time in that game. But I'll never forget, and this is my naivety, being naive, whatever that word is. There was a person behind us and was like, hey, Mark, hey, Mark Dixon, number 20. And like, you turn around thinking it's a friend of yours. And they're like, you suck. Why don't you, you know, I can't remember what the guy was saying, but it was harsh. But we whooped Maryland. We smoked them. I think we won like by 7 or 8. The biggest game was my senior year, homecoming at Hopkins, picture perfect day in April. And really my junior year was when, I think it was the fact that I got a taste of game action and also the heckling from the fans at Maryland. I think it gave me a better understanding of the sea. And it also just, I hate the flag bearer for Maryland. I hate when that guy runs out with that daggone flag, waving it and all that. So my senior year, we were both teams were kind of struggling a little bit. They came into Hopkins. It was the day you always talk about, you know, 10,000 fans, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. And it was back and forth. It was very, very physical. I did get a minute or two of playing time in that game. And I remember Dan Radebaugh, All-American defenseman for Maryland and also a teammate of mine at Loyola High School. And we were not friends or teammates on that day. I think he said a few things to me that I was like, wow, you know. But it just kind of spoke to, that was like Maryland Hopkins lacrosse. And it was, I think we won by 2 or something. But it was just a really good game. So those are, sorry, long-winded answer, but those are my memories as a player for the Hopkins Maryland. And then, you know, just calling the games. I mean, you know, called the game on radio in the Final Four in 2016 when Kyle Burnmore saved that last-second Joel Tinney shot off the butt end of his stick. I think it was Joel Tinney with that shot. I remember Brian Farrell back when I was calling games for WMAR and we were on ESPNU, you know, the simulcast thing when Brian Farrell, Maryland, Hopkins dominated that game, but Farrell came down a long stick midfielder and won a one-handed shot with the pole with like three Hopkins guys hanging off of him. I still remember the 2004 game, the 100th meeting between the two teams and calling that game on MAR. And
that was in 2004?
That was 2004.
That was that long ago?
It's the 116th meeting the two schools on Saturday, yeah. And I just remember Hopkins coming out. And Tim McGinnis was the goaltender for Maryland, and I've known the McGinnis family for ages. And he was a really, really good goalie. And I think the lights just really screwed with him that night, and Hopkins got out to like a 6-7 nothing lead. You know, so just, you know, there's so many memories that I have of the series. But what you remember the most, and this is not a knock on Maryland, but when you play at Homewood Field, it's just a much better environment. At least, maybe because I'm a Hopkins guy. Maybe because I'm – but it's because when you're playing at Maryland Stadium, it gets really, really loud and really exciting. But it just doesn't have that same small feel atmosphere where people – it's just packed. Like, you can just see that it's packed and it's loud and, you know – you got the smells in the air from the food trucks and the, you know, and of course it's typically homecoming. So you know, being a Hopkins dork, I see the, you know, the class is parading through and all that good stuff. So, you know, it's a fantastic rivalry, fantastic game. It'll be great on Saturday.
Well said, Dix. So Dix, it's time for our give and go.
Okay.
And we have a listener who called in with a suggestion and it's a good one. So here's Guillermo from Baltimore.
Hey, D-Fly and Dixie, I'm taking a cue from a previous caller, and I have a suggestion for a give-and-go. Like you, I live in the Baltimore area, and since it is arguably the epicenter of lacrosse, there are always people you know from out of town visiting, whether it's for club tournaments or to see a college game. So, my question is, where do you like to take your out-of-town guests to sample the local flavor of our great city? Is it a site or a venue, a neighborhood, a watering hole, a restaurant? Is it to get local food like steamed crabs or steamed shrimp, crab cakes, adult beverages? I know where I like to take my friends, and I'd love to hear what you guys think. Sorry I was so long-winded. Love the pod. Keep working on those pronunciations of Bellarmine and Quinnipiac. This is Guillermo Victorio checking in from Laker Nation. I look forward to what you guys have to say. Thanks a lot.
All right, so... where are your hot spots in Baltimore? Where do you take people when they come into town? What do you want to show them?
Well, you know.
Thanks for the call, too.
Yeah, excellent.
That's a good one.
Excellent.
Thanks for listening.
I mean, you know, being in my mid-40s now with two kids, and, you know, I'm not the partier that I used to be, I guess. I mean, look, if it was still open, I would say PJ's, you know, being a Hopkins guy and, you know.
And he's specifically referencing, like, when people come into town for lacrosse.
Yeah.
Stuff, you know, so where do you take lacrosse people?
Yeah, so I would take people to PJ's because that's the Hopkins lacrosse place. I think, and I've never gone to this establishment a ton, but I know a lot of people do, and that's not saying that I don't like it, but Mount Washington Tavern, mm-hmm. I think, is a place that people, you know, the Baltimore lacrosse scene kind of congregates there. Other places I might go, I do like the Valley Inn. Down off of Falls Road. I think that's just a great place. They got an outdoor patio is great. I do know that a lot of the college coaches, when they come in for recruiting events, particularly that are at UMBC, go to Tawnytown Deli in Catonsville. I think that's a must stop for a lot of those guys. I know Jerry Byrne from Notre Dame is fancies himself, the lumberjack or the Pac-Man sandwich that's on that menu. As far as areas go, I mean, I think you have to go, you know, you got your three spots in Baltimore. You got Federal Hill, you've got Canton, and you've got Fells Point, you know. So the Green Turtle is another place that you probably need to go.
And not one of the chain ones like out in the burbs. But
No, you got to go the one, the turtle down in, in Fells Point. What road is that?
Thames Street.
Is it on Thames? Because I thought Thames ran.
It's on Broadway.
Broadway, yeah, Broadway and Thames intersect. So yeah, on Broadway.
I think in Baltimore they call it Thames.
Yeah,
Street.
Yeah. We're sophisticated enough to know that it's Thames. Cooper's, I think, is a great place.
That's true.
On Thames.
So what he's saying is, a lot of cities have neighborhoods or pockets, but Baltimore really has them.
Oh yeah,
and there's, well, and each place has a different feel to it.
Yes.
So He's talking about three neighborhoods that are around the waterfront.
Right.
You know, Federal Hill, sort of on the west side of the harbor.
Yeah.
That is over by where Camden Yards and the stadiums are on sort of one side. And then Canton is on the east side of the harbor, and Fells Point sort of in the middle.
Yeah.
Almost connected to Canton, though, more on the east side. And the neighborhoods really have a different feel to them.
Yeah.
They're all walk. You can walk to any of those neighborhoods from our office at Inside the Cross is right next to the aquarium. So
yeah.
We're like right downtown on the water, and you can walk in either direction to get to these places. A lot of people around in the neighborhood, a lot of guys who work here walk to work or ride their bike. But man, there's like a rivalry between Canton and Federal Hill in a way that like there's people won't go out and you know, there's like Federal Hill people are like, oh, I never go over to Canton.
Really?
And then there's Canton people who are like, oh, the people over in Federal Hill are so snobby.
Are these like is this like a millennial pillow fight?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Hey, give me a break.
Where they're like, oh, I could never date a girl who lives over in Federal
Hill. Get out of here. Are you serious? Being serious right
I know
now?
People who think
that's
this
like
way.
That's like in
there
Towson.
Are people who think this way.
It's like in Towson, Stoneley. Like I had a buddy of mine who lived in the Annesley neighborhood, and this is going way back. And I think I was asking him like, "Oh, so Charlie, where do you live?" He goes, "Oh, I live in Annesley. It's like right near Stoneley." And this woman who lived in Stoneley was like, "You do not live in Stoneley. You do not live in Stoneley." And I was like, "What is this? The Howls from Gilligan's Island, Lovey? You know, it's silly." And to hear that these little are having this fight over Canton and Federal Hill. Serious? Are you serious?
Yeah, they're very territorial.
What?
But I used to live in Canton, and my spot over there. Nacho Mamas.
Nacho Mamas is great.
I love it. Yeah. That's where I would take people. That's one of my spots, my hot spots.
My wife and I lived in Fells Point. She also lived in Federal Hill.
I remember when you guys lived down there.
Yeah. Yeah. She also lived in, my wife lived in Federal Hill. Me personally, and this is not a knock, but other than Cross Street Market, I've never really, Abbey Burger Bistro is a place that I would go in Federal Hill, but we didn't really hang out in Federal Hill. The reason being is the places are a little bit smaller, and I get claustrophobic. But that's not a knock on Federal Hill in any way, shape, or form. I think it's a great neighborhood. I think it's a great area. I just preferred Fells Point. But I would never say I'm never going out in Federal Hill. I mean, I've been to Mother's, Mad River when it was in Federal Hill. I used to frequent that place.
Rope Walk.
Oh, I love – I take that back. I spent a lot of time in Rope Walk as an adult.
Yeah.
I love the Rope Walk. Great menu, great place to watch NFL football. So, man, look at this. You're jogging my memory by saying, you know, Rope Walk is great. But when we lived in Fells Point, Cooper's, we love Cooper's, and John Steven was another go-to. But I think our favorite place was Duda's.
Yeah, I've been to Duda's.
Right on the corner of Bond Street and Thames was my favorite.
That was real close to where you lived, right?
It was a block down. Yeah, block down. Yeah, we lived right next to the Black Olive restaurant, which is now, and actually our apartment, which was on the first floor, is now part of the Black Olive restaurant. That's one of the reasons that we moved, because the owner of the Black Olive bought the building that we were living in and turned our apartment into an extension of their dining room. So,
I'm a Canton guy, so that's where I spent a lot of years.
Nacho Mamas.
Clotta's Pub.
Clotta's is fantastic.
Looney's
is great. Then you remember the wine bar, Helen's Garden?
Yes.
Helen's Garden was a good spot, too.
I don't know if that's still there.
It's not, but it was great.
It was a good place. But, you know, we're talking about crab cakes is what you often want to, or Crab House. You can go to...
Bo Brooks is
in Canton on the water. Some people recommend G&M for the crabs
and crab
cakes.
Yeah, that's out in Linthicum?
Linthicum,
yeah. Yeah, in Anne Arundel County. Annapolis is another place that people swear by. They love Annapolis, especially if you're in that, you know, Naval Academy area. I'm not a big water guy, so I've never. And I don't know if that's
a
reason.
Crabs, right?
Well, it's not that I don't like crabs, and I was gonna say that I haven't been talking about crab cakes because I'm allergic to shellfish, so I can't have crab cakes. I can't have clams, oysters, mussels.
That's tough.
Can't have any of that stuff. Yeah, so it really sucks. It does. Yeah.
But yeah, there's lots of places. I guess what I'd recommend to answer your question.
Yeah, go ahead. Like, what do you?
I would say
is this a give and go? No, it's not the give and go.
We're
is
just
it?
Sort of answering his question.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't really pick three.
Right.
But Nacho Mama's would definitely be one of my spots.
That's one.
There's one in Towson now that's not bad.
It's good. I've been to the one in Towson.
It's but
it's not the down, it's not the it's not OG.
Yeah, the one in Canton is yeah. the spot. Yeah, that's my go-to thing. There's also like the aquarium is actually cool if you want to take someone to see something. There's you know the science center if you have kids the Port Discovery Museum.
The Baltimore Zoo, I think, is great.
Baltimore Zoo is solid.
I love the Baltimore Zoo.
Family's had a membership there. So yeah. It's given it to us as a gift several times. And I go to the zoo like two or three times a year.
Okay.
The zoo's cool. And then, you know, like an O's game, or if it's the fall, Ravens games are always fun.
You're really being the tourist right now. I mean, you got your black socks and your Birkenstocks on with your with the hat. You know, a tourist hat. You got your camera. You know, your camera.
I didn't say like you should tour the USS Constellation. Or,
I think the other thing
go
too
on the
is
Coast Guard ship. Well, that's next
so
to us.
So here's something else. How about U.S. Lacrosse headquarters out in Sparks? That's where the Hall of Fame is.
I would have said it used to be on Hopkins campus, yeah. And you could go to a game at Homewood Field, yeah. And then I mean
walk right across.
Next door yeah. was the U.S. Lacrosse Museum and Foundation, but they have moved about 2 years ago. They have a great facility, beautiful place up in Sparks, and they have a field and a little stadium. And
but if for nothing else, go there. The Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame is there, and it is very cool, and they do a nice job with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's another option too.
It's another option.
That's a little out of town. I mean, it's
far. It's northern Baltimore County, so it is not you know quote unquote close to Baltimore, but still you know if you're down here for an extended period and have the time take, you know, it's not every day you get to go to a Sports Hall of Fame. So,
and then there's one other, I have a new recommendation. My wife made me go to this place called Coco's Pub.
Made you go.
Yeah. I didn't, we had been doing something. We're out and she was like, I want to go. And it's on Harford Road. So when I pictured Harford, we were downtown. We went to something at the Hippodrome. I pictured.
You went to the Hippodrome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
To see Bubble Guppies live. It wasn't that.
Oh, so it was with the
it was
kids?
Like a kids show, yeah.
And I bet the tickets were still like $1.25 a piece.
They were.
That place is not cheap.
Yeah, it was. They were at least $40 or
something. Highway robbery.
Yeah.
Highway robbery. I took my older son Matthew to see, I think, Dora the Explorer on stage or something at the Hippodrome. And it set me back, like, you know, that was a good, like, $150 it set me back for the two of us.
I think we got free tickets through my wife's work, though.
Oh,
so it was good.
Good for you.
But I did a back-to-back weekends of Bubble Guppies Live and Disney on Ice.
Yeah, I remember. At Disney on Ice, you missed all the lacrosse.
Yeah,
I did. Because you were watching Elsa do a triple axel.
Yeah. So she said, let's go to this place that's on Harford Road called Coco's Pub.
Mm-hmm.
They have maybe the best crab cake I've ever
really?
Had in my life. Yeah. And that's what they specialize. It's just kind of like, not a hole in the wall, but it's a small little... typical Baltimore. Mm-hmm. It was like a row house that's kind of on a corner that it was packed. You had to wait. You had to get. They recommend reservations.
Yeah.
There's a line to get into the place, basically, and it was really good.
Big place, small place, hole
small
in the wall.
Small place, hole in the wall type of thing. But she said Harford Road, and for some reason, I'm thinking like outside the Beltway, up Harford Road, like way up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like on the other side of 695.
Right.
But it was just in the neighborhood called Lauraville.
Mm-hmm.
So by Lake Montebello, kind of.
Yeah, Harford Road extends. I mean, it's out in the county, but it extends it well into the city.
But driving from
well into the
Hippodrome to there, we went through some sketchy neighborhoods.
Well, you know, if you're around Lake Montebello, I mean, that's around 33rd Street, where Old Memorial Stadium used to be. That's Herring Run, is down that way. Famous.
Yeah, it was this place was about three blocks from Herring Run.
Well, Herring Run was the mecca of soccer back in the 60s, I want to say. You know, a lot of kids from that neighborhood, the Herring Run area, went to Curley, went to Patterson High School. That was like a soccer mecca. But it's the area, because then you go a couple blocks, I think you go a couple blocks east, and you're in Bel Air Edison, which is, that's...
Dicey.
If you ever watched The Wire, you know, those are some of the neighborhoods that
were featured
that
cemetery.
Program.
The giant cemetery that's often in The Wire where they'd have meetings and things is about five blocks from us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, we drove
school.
Through it, actually.
It's old school Baltimore.
It is. But, man, this place, Coco's Pub, unbelievable crab cakes.
That's great.
Highly recommend it.
That's great.
All right. I think that's another week in the books.
I think that was a lot of suggestions
in
there. A lot of suggestions.
Yeah, so I hope that answered your question, Guillermo. And I want to know, from you where you recommend. In your call, you just said you know where you take people, but let us know.
Oh, what? did he say that? I missed that part.
Yeah, he said I know where I like to take people.
Yeah, call
I
back
get,
and
I want to get your opinions.
Yeah, call back and let us know where he would take people.
All right. So if you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend. Pass it on. You know, it comes to you for free. Least you can do is pass it on and help us get some more subscribers to the podcast. You can reach out to us on Twitter at Dixon Lacrosse or at @D_Fly or via email. You can send me a message at dflynn@insidelacrosse.com. Call in. We love the calls with your rant, your comment, question, or suggestion for a give and go topic. 443-595-7020. Sure, leave your name where you're calling from. Also, don't forget to check out all our other podcasts here at Inside Lacrosse. We drop a new one every weekday during the season. Have a great week and enjoy the game.
Like a whole lot of hubba harumphing to basically like agree with you.